All right, today's scripture reading is from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. And today is from the Contemporary English Version. Sometime later, I felt God's power take control of me, and God's spirit carried me to a valley full of bones. God showed me all around, and everywhere I looked, I saw bones that were dried out. God said, "Ezekiel, human one, can these bones come back to life?" I replied, "Oh God, only you can answer that." God then told me to say, "Dry bones, listen to what God is saying to you. I, your God, will put breath in you, and once again, you will live. I will wrap you with muscles and skin and breathe life into you. Then you will know that I am your God." I did what God said, but before I finished speaking, I heard a rattling noise. The bones were coming together. I saw muscles and skin cover the bones, but they had no life in them. Then God said, "Ezekiel, now say to the wind, your God commands you to blow from every direction and to breathe life into these dead bodies so they can live again." As soon as I said this, the wind blew among the bodies and they came back to life. They all stood up and there were enough to make a big, large army. Then God said, "Ezekiel, the people of Israel are like dead bones. They complain that they are dried up and that they have no hope for the future. So tell them, I, your God, promise to open your graves and set you free. I will bring you back to Israel, and when that happens, you will realize that I am God. My spirit will give you breath, and you will live again. I will bring you home, and you will know that I have kept my promise. I, your God, have spoken." Here ends the reading.
Thanks, Ted. Since I've already made one shameless plug about our fundraiser, let me make one more plug. Danny needs more volunteers to help cook breakfast on Easter Sunday. So you can see Danny after church and let him know that you want to help out in a way beyond just eating. We do need people to eat as well. And there will be more shameless plugs in the rest of the service, so just letting you know ahead of time. When I first heard this scripture, I'd never seen a zombie movie. I doubt Ezekiel had either. Sarah Wayne Callies had not come onto the screen yet in The Walking Dead, and so we didn't have that as a thing of reference for many folks when I first heard the scripture. And yet the clarity of the vision that Ezekiel gives in this scripture is just amazing. I had seen some scenes of devastation, though I had never experienced, I think, what Ezekiel probably experienced, the absolute siege and destruction of Jerusalem, the exile. But, you know, I've seen the pictures from World War I of the fields and the plains in which, and the trenches in which bodies were just scattered everywhere. I've seen the pictures of the concentration camps of Auschwitz and Dachau. I've seen the pictures of the aftermath of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, seen the pictures of the killing fields of the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia. So I have some imagery, but the way that Ezekiel writes it, and I listen to what Ezekiel has to say, the sense of absolute and utter desolation, the sense of decay and death and separation, the picture that Ezekiel paints is truly amazing. And then there's the moment in the scripture where Ezekiel has in this conversation with God, and God says, speak to these dead, dry, bleached, scattered bones, and speak to them, prophesy to them, and Ezekiel writes about a rattling and a rustling, a clickety clack of bones coming together and sinew being added to those bones and flesh being added to that. And all of a sudden, from what was this valley of dry bones, there's now a valley of bodies. But the truth that Ezekiel then points out is a truth that we know, is that we are more than just our bones, more than just our flesh and our sinew. We are an embodied spirit as well. And there is no spirit in those bones. And so God says to Ezekiel, prophesy again, say these words. And in some ways, like a recapitulation of Genesis chapter 2, when God sees the dirt of the earth and he pulls that dirt up and forms it into the first human being and then breathes into it, and the first human comes alive with the breath, the wind, the spirit of God within. So too this happens with these bodies that had just been flesh and bones are now alive. They are the people of Israel. It is one of the most hopeful images I find in the Bible, an image that tells us there is nothing in our life so desolate that God cannot be a part of it, that there is nothing in which there is a final word that God cannot speak a word of life and light and love into. So incredibly powerful imagery. And listen, I have not experienced what Ezekiel, I haven't experienced a siege of Jerusalem. I haven't experienced a siege like that. But I have, we all have. We all have been just recently through an experience in which life has become completely discombobulated, completely shifted from the way in which we understood how life would work together. We have gone through that. On March 22nd, 2020, was the first sermon that I preached online, the first time that we gathered together as a virtual community, 3 years and 4 days ago. And I can tell you that in the 2 weeks leading up to that Sunday, on March the 8th, Kelly and I had made the decision that we're going to put hand sanitizers throughout the whole campus. Talk about the proverbial finger in the dike. Hand sanitizers, that was going to do it for us. 2 days after that Sunday, March 8th, the number of COVID cases in Hawaii doubled in one day. Went from 1 to 2. And we laugh and we think about, oh my gosh, that's so nice. And yet what we realized at that moment was that which had been declared a worldwide pandemic just weeks before, that which had been ravaging China, ravaging Italy, ravaging Seattle, ravaging New York City, we, in the most isolated landmass in the entire globe, were not immune from it. And that COVID could make that journey across the water to us. And 2 days after that, church council meeting, church council said, we will gather one more Sunday in person. And after that, we need to go online. So on March 15th, 2020, our last Sunday in person, no TV inside our sanctuary at that time, we gathered together, and when I walked out and locked the doors of the sanctuary with tears in my eyes, I then pulled together a brain trust in my office of Chris, Marcus, Renita, Rich Tillotson, Rich Bailey, Jennifer Perry, our accompanist at the time, and I said, next Sunday we need to be online and virtual. How do we do that? We had 7 days to figure it out. And I'll be honest, the first Sunday was a little bit rough. Renita can remember she was in the back with a boom microphone like this, and Jennifer was on the piano over here trying to figure out how we could get music into our worship service, trying to figure out what to do with, oh, on this thing called Zoom. Oh my gosh, if we could have invested in Zoom back then, we would be wealthy people today. But how to get Zoom to synchronize everything together when, in fact, they're all bouncing all over satellites all over the world and it couldn't be done. And we were, and Marcus and Chris and I were doing one-on-one sessions for hours with people trying to help folks understand how to utilize this technology. It was rough. But within 4 weeks, when we got to Holy Week, within 4 weeks, our clickety-clack moment of sinew and flesh and bones being connected had really begun to happen. because within 4 weeks, we were able to do a Monday, Thursday service, a tenebrae service with 12 voices all over the island gathered together, extinguishing candles. We were able to do a Good Friday service. We discovered at sunrise service that if I went down to the beach and turned my microphone off, and Marcus up in Manoa Valley turned his microphone on, then we saw the waves with the birds of Manoa, and it was beautiful. And all of a sudden, we figured out that you can use this technology in amazing ways, and you could see everything that was coming together. My friend Daniel Kinzer wrote at the start of the pandemic, he said, "It's as if Mother Earth sent us to our rooms to think about what we have done." And that's exactly what we had to do. And as we thought about what we had done, we also thought about what we can do. The truth of the matter is, though, we weren't the only ones that were doing this. Every single church was having to figure out something like this. Every organization was having to try to figure out what to do. And everyone was coming up with different things, but we were able to, in that 1 month's time, all of our meetings went online, all of our worship services went online. Mono was able to produce a whole bunch of masks that were being distributed out to the community, and every single one of us was being given a mask from Church of the Crossroads. You remember 3 years ago? There was a shortage of masks. We were told to not go out unless you're wearing a mask, but a lot of us didn't have masks. And so Mono provided that, and we created angel groups that took care of one another and looked after one another. It was an amazing clickety-clack moment. But here's the truth. Here's the truth. Ezekiel says it this way. Ezekiel looks out on this valley of now bodies that have come together, but there was no spirit. We know this to be true, how often there are things, innovative, creative ways that we respond to problems and challenges, and we respond, but we don't have the legs underneath us to sustain it. How many of us are like gardens that we have planted where it looks so good when you put the plants in, but then we forget we have to maintain and upkeep it. And what happened throughout our community and many communities is all those efforts began to struggle. People had done the pulling together of technology, but technology is simply a tool. Technology is simply a tool that depends on what you pour into that technology for it to work or not. And if the spirit is not enlivening that technology, then it is simply a tool not being utilized. John Dorhauer, president of the United Church, general president of the United Church of Christ in the early stages of the pandemic, sent a letter to all pastors and all churches and says, "I really encourage you to lean into the Holy Spirit. Lean into the Holy Spirit." And as I look back now over the last 3 years, I think about the ways that I think we did that. And I'm excited by it because the Holy Spirit can be so amazingly unpredictable. Just 2 weeks before we entered into our lockdown, we had to quickly hire a choir director. And so we hired this young man, Chris Serrano, who had a good recommendation, apparently was good with music, but we had no idea that Chris Serrano was a big-time video gamer. Big time. I learned that. I was wearing a t-shirt one day that had an arrow going through a skeleton of a knee and shattering the knee. I found that t-shirt in at a Goodwill store, and since I had just had a knee replacement surgery, it felt like the right t-shirt to have. And Chris said, "Why are you wearing that t-shirt?" And I said, "Well, because knee replacement." And he said, "Oh no, that's a meme." I didn't even know what a meme was. "That's a meme from some video game about taking it in the knee. And only a big-time gamer would know what that's all about." But he was. And if you're as good as he was in gaming, then you're good at understanding what the technology can do for you. And because he was a man in which he allowed the Spirit to flow through him, he was able to say, "We can use this technology to do the following things to connect us." And by Easter Sunday, just 4 weeks later, he had created our first virtual choir. Few places could do that, and it just got more and more. Who knew the unpredictability of the Spirit that would bring us Chris Serrano at just the moment that we needed him. Who knew that that person who would come periodically to church and who prided himself on his sort of Germanic way of brusqueness and in-your-faceness would become the captain of the ship that guides us through all things Zoom and all things online, that would tap into his experience of working with Kokua Mao and working with Zahana in Madagascar, and would pull all of those pieces together, and that very German person actually is the kindest, gentlest person who to this day has a series of folks that he emails every Sunday morning to give them directions how to get online because he knows that they still struggle. Who knew that the Spirit was going to move us in that way? Who knew the unpredictability of the Spirit that would make Harriet, where is Harriet? She's on here. Here's Harriet. Poor Harriet, I told her she was going to feature in today's sermon. Would make it so that Harriet can struggle on Zoom. And the result of Harriet struggling on Zoom is that Harriet reaches out to her daughter in Guernsey, Jean, and says, can you help me get on Zoom with church? And Jean said, sure, be happy to help you. And initially just did that. And all of a sudden listened and said, wait, there's something going on there. Well, Jean has now become the mama bear of the cosmic bamboo hui. Right here, our lovely, wonderful Jean, who's actually running our PowerPoint for us today from Sky. And what you all don't know is not only did Jean become important while we were online, but once we went hybrid, she is the voice that continued to say, we need to pay attention. These people are not just voyeurs watching worship happen. These folks are an integral part of our congregation. The most active neighborhood hui that we have is the cosmic bamboo hui, who meets every month or every 2 months. They will be meeting this Saturday online, spread across about a dozen time zones, to talk about Easter and what does Easter mean to us. They are not any longer scattered pilgrims. They are an integrated part of our community. And every Sunday, you may not know this, every Sunday I get an email from Jean who says, this person, this week it's Larry, is going to be the person that is going to help us with our pre-church chat. That time and our visiting hour. And Larry's going to guide that chat. And Annette, this week, is the person that if I have any announcements or prayers in Zoom world, I turn to Annette and she will have gathered them all together. And it will be Wit, I believe, who is going to help with the technology. If anyone has tech problems, they will chat to her. And then the breakout rooms, Paige and Josh and Jean are going to help those breakout rooms. All of this is happening so that we can have this community spread across all these time zones. And I could go on and on. I could talk about all that Renita does, finding different ways to create different angles and being the person that creates the redundancy, though. When Marcus and Chris are not here, she's there running the show. I could talk about Ty stepping up and becoming the person that runs the camera for us and does so many things. The way in which Bill has created workarounds with our audio so that there are specific cables that will meet the certain needs of specific people within our congregation so that everyone can participate. I can talk to you about all of our mission teams, PJSC, service, nurture, admin, particularly POM and finance, how all of them quickly found a way to go online, to do their work online, now in a hybrid way. And when I look at it now, 3 years later, I think about the unpredictability of the Spirit moving into our lives and the willingness of we as a community to respond to that Spirit. And whereas many other churches have struggled in this time, there are certain things that we can point to that would say that we didn't just survive, but we thrived through a pandemic. We have more people in attendance on a Sunday morning now, when you combine you all and these folks up here, than in the best Sundays pre-pandemic. We have been able to maintain our giving from both our pledges and from the folks that make donations to the church, even though many large donors have passed away in this time. We are now hosting events with more than 150 people coming to the church, most of whom are not church members of their community, knowing that this is a place that we need to be, that they need to be. We are seeing ourselves in the public discourse in ways the Church of the Crossroads has not been for a long time, with articles in the paper and other things. There's a lot that is going on. And so I could stop right here and I could pat you all on the back and I could tell you, job well done, you've responded to the Spirit. You've allowed not just flesh and bones to come together. You've allowed the Spirit to breathe through you, and we could stop right there. But the truth of the matter is if you listen to the rest of the story that is not spoken in what Ted read to us, when you think about God says, you are now the people of Israel. You are now the people that have come alive in this valley of no longer dry bones, but enlivened and inspirited people. The truth of the matter is the expectation is you do not go back to what you were. You must continue and constantly grow. You must continue, and if you are going to be a people enlivened by the Spirit, you will be a people that by very nature will evolve. And so if we want to stop and pat ourselves on the back and say, look how well we have done coming through these 3 years, and then that's a time in which we say, now we can take a breath and we can stop and rest on our laurels because all is well in this world. The truth of the matter is that's the moment when you have cut yourself off to the Spirit, because the Spirit is always moving amongst us in unpredictable ways and calling to us. The world has shifted. The world has changed, not just through a pandemic, but through so many other realities in our life. Statistic after statistic will tell us that more and more people, for various reasons, have no sense of affinity for church or for religion. But statistic after statistic will tell us that those very same people are still looking for meaning in their life. They are still people that are looking for community. They are looking for ways to be engaged with the world. It is not up to the church to say, well, gotta come to be with us the way we are. It is up to us, as has always been the case, to grow and to evolve and to find the ways, to find the voice that speaks to those who wish to not be affiliated, who wish to instead do not want to call themselves by the name of Christian, but are certainly willing to walk the path that the carpenter has led for us and shown to us. It is up to us to find our ways, to be present and open, to evolve and to change. It's the same task that we had in year one. The same task that we had in year 39, 64, 72, whatever year you want to pick, it is to be a people open to the Spirit of God that is moving amongst us in various and wondrous and unpredictable ways, and to allow ourselves to grow into that Spirit and become ourselves the enlivened, inspirited people of God. That's what Ezekiel calls the people there in that valley that is no longer dry bones, but is a valley of enlivened and spirited. That's what Ezekiel speaks to them, and that is what our call is today. Amen.